When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Woo! Hello and welcome to your first ever edition of Let's Go Otsko at Home. That's right, I'm at home, you're at home, stay at home. We're still at home because it's still quarantine time. And if you haven't heard, Let's Go Otsko at Home is a new structure to our show where I have heart-to-heart with my favorite people from all over the world. Our first guest is Andy Richter, whom you might have seen on Conan over the years, or on his sitcoms like Andy Barker PI, or Andy Richter Controls the Universe. Whew, now a little about Andy. I first met Andy on Twitter. I think it was the Twitterverse. Honestly, that's how I meet people these days. I rarely just strike up a conversation in public anymore and make friends that way. That is how I used to find people to hook up with, was just at the grocery store or just on a walk. It helps to have a dog because then you could be like, ooh, nice dog, wanna fuck, you know, but I'm married now and kind of a homebody. So online is really where it's at. It's just more convenient and you can reach a wider net of friendships that way too. So yes, Twitter. We started following each other on there and I have been watching him for a long time. And I've always loved his witty quips. His bits were always so funny. This is a more recent one before the pandemic, but he goes, I think it's called redneck fishing, where it's almost like noodling where you just use your hands to fish and you're in the water up to like your chest. And, you know, fish are very slippery, you know, very, very slippery, hard to catch with just your bare hands. So at one point, Andy just belly flops onto a fish to catch it. And I still laugh thinking about it. Anyway, there's such a sincerity to his humor and his presence. And I've always felt like he was a great listener. He has a podcast called The Three Questions with Andy Richter, where he asks three very simple but kind of deep questions out of his guests. And I'm just so honored that he was down to sit down with me and chat. So without further ado, here's the conversation with Andy Richter. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here with my guest, Andy Richter.
Hi.
Wow, crowd goes wild.
Yeah,
crowd goes wild. How are you?
I'm good. I'm okay. I'm bored like everybody else, but this coronavirus quarantining hasn't sent me spiraling into a downward depression. So that's a good thing. You know,
I know.
It could. Yeah. It conceivably could. And I think it's happening with a lot of people that way.
For sure. I know. I think the baseline is like when we ask each other how we're doing, it's like we haven't spiraled yet. That's the basic. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm sorry that our first true hang had to be this way.
That's okay. That's all right. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, this is our first true hang. I had you on the live show for Let's Go Otsko.
Yeah.
Which you were so fun and so brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
You didn't win, but you were
honestly,
a close
though,
second.
I mean, I know, but I mean, that as a game show goes, winning is it's such a silly thing, and it's kind of...
Oh, well, I'd never had a contestant tell me it's just a silly thing before.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, it's winning there is slightly different than winning on Jeopardy, let's say.
For sure,
you know,
for sure.
I mean,
the stakes were low.
Like, the fates intervene a lot more in Let's Go Otsko that, you know, like anyone can win, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Anyone can win. We're all winners, or yes. Maybe it's more like we're all losers. And
yeah. Well, no, being there is the real victory.
That's right. Wow, Andy, you are so good with words.
I'm a bullshit artist.
Hey, or a poet.
Yeah.
Some would call that a poet, being a poet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to ask you three questions because, you know, you...
I have a podcast called The Three Questions.
You host The Three Questions with Andy Richter, where you ask three questions of your guest. So I ask you the same three questions that you ask your guests.
All right.
In the context of, you know, the situation we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Where do you come from? Where are you going? What have you learned?
Within the context of this?
Is this legally illegal? Like copyright?
I guess I would be the one to sue you, and I'm not going to. I don't think so.
All these things are up for grabs. All the things behind me, the set pieces. That's what you would win in the lawsuit.
Yeah. I have enough fur flats.
Good. I'm safe.
Fur flats, yeah.
You can have my car, I guess. That's the only thing I own.
Well, that would be all right, you know? Yeah. I could give it to my kid. He needs a car.
For sure. The passenger side window doesn't go down. What else is wrong with it? That's about it. There's a couple of dents. None of the mirrors, the colors don't match. But
That's all right.
It's a start.
Who cares? Yeah. I mean, come on. Actually, I do find that cars that are, let's say, cosmetically compromised are in many ways safer in terms of being stolen or being messed with or broken into, I think, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, there was a SNL parody ad of like a car that looked really shitty on the outside but was really luxurious on the inside just to keep people from messing with it. I think it's not a bad plan.
No, it's very true. Yeah. I'm at a point where, you know, if someone wants to steal it, I would just hand them over the keys.
I feel that with almost everything in my life. You want it, take it. I mean, you know, I have the luxury of being able to replace things, and I'm very lucky in that sense, but it also, right, too, is like, yeah, you know.
Just take it.
Yeah, I'm old enough now. I just feel like, it's all stuff.
You know? Unless it's like your kids.
Right. Or, or family photos or things like that. But everything's all backed up anyway. So it's, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's replaceable.
Everything's packed up anyways. That begs the question, where are you going?
No, backed up, I said.
Oh, backed up.
Yeah.
I thought you were ready to skip on town.
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to go. I've been running such a long scam, but I'm always afraid that they're going to figure it out. And so I'm going to have to hit the road at any moment. So
so where do you come from? It can be literal. Like, where were you before this?
Before this, where do I come from? In the last year I got divorced, so I moved out of the family house and into an apartment. Mm-hmm. And where I do come from is from an apartment, but now where I am now is a house that I'm renting in Burbank that I moved into here February 1st. You know, with not...
Oh, wow.
Honestly, it wasn't... I mean, I moved because my lease was up and I wanted to... I have a dog that I needed space for, and I have a 14-year-old daughter who stays with me a lot, and she didn't like being in an apartment. So it's just so much nicer to have a house. But now, especially for being quarantined, I have my own place. I don't have to get on, you know, otherwise I'd have to get on an elevator 5 times a day. So just...
For sure.
You know, that's...
Timing.
The timing was perfect, yeah. And I'm very happy, you know, and it's just nice to be in my own house. And I have, it's not very big. It's like a little, it's actually square footage wise smaller than I think than what my apartment was, or about the same.
But it's just, you have like, you have grass,
I have a backyard that's never... You know, this house was built in 1950 and nobody ever did anything to the backyard other than... let grass grow in it, and a lemon tree. So it's great. You know, it's just nice.
Yeah.
Open patch of grass for the dog, and so she can bark at all the imaginary things that she, you know, as the head of security here at the house, she lets everybody know, don't fuck with us.
Right. Not in these times.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Not in these times, all you people out trying to infiltrate our
trying to hop the fence in my backyard in Burbank.
Yeah. Yeah. People are, I mean, it is nice, like, to have a space that you can look out if you're, you know, truly afraid of, like, being out at a park or something.
Right, right.
You know, to be able to enjoy that with your fam, with your dog.
Yeah.
Love your dog, by the way. Just admiring you from afar all the time.
She won't stop growing. She's huge. It's funny because when I record my podcast, like, I'll either record at a studio in Hollywood, the Earwolf Studio, or we actually have a podcast studio at the Conan Studios. And mm-hmm. she can come with me because she'll just settle down there and sleep in the corner while we record. But at home, it's a different thing. She's barking. If I shut the door, she's scratching at the door. So when I record something, I have to actually get her out of here. You know, because even in the backyard, she would just bark, and because she'd know I'm here and be like,
right.
Hey, what's up? Come on.
It sounds like, so
what about me?
No, for sure. Yeah. It sounds like you're coming from a lot of places.
Yes.
From moving this year.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Moving this year to new situation where you're working from home. You're doing recordings from home.
I am.
And there's a dog there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We're doing our TV show from home. It's weird. We're doing the Conan show from home.
I saw you hugging with the mannequin hands.
Yeah.
And I almost cried because it was like, it's still like in my head. I was like, it's human touch of some sort.
You're right.
Or at least close to it, you know.
Yeah.
Where are you going? What have you learned?
Where am I going? For here, I don't know if I'm going anywhere. We're all kind of in a completely reactive mode, waiting to be told that it's safe to go out anymore. And I, you know, last night I was driving, my daughter had come over for the evening. Which is like one of the few things I leave the house for, is to go pick up my kids and bring them back here or take them back home. And we drove by a restaurant, and I was just like, imagine going and sitting down in a restaurant. It's only been 3 weeks or a month, but it does feel like, oh my God, remember restaurants?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
The city just looks like Pyongyang.
It's like weird.
Just everything's just like a pretend location.
Yes.
And
if you kid yourself, if you trick yourself into thinking, oh, the streets are so empty, it's so easy to get around, all this parking, mm-hmm. or, you know, you get on the highway like, wow, traffic's great today. You can trick yourself into thinking that it's great and nice and not dystopian. Right. You know,
then
you think about it and you're like, oh no, this is really shitty and scary. Like there's not a lot of traffic, but it's because it's shitty and scary right now.
Well, also on the freeway, those signs that usually say buckle up or get a ticket, you know, now just says COVID-19, COVID-19. Where are you going?
Licking things. Why are you out of the house?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like constantly on our minds, you know? So, what have you learned? I don't want to put it in your mouth, but
Well, over the quarantine, I've learned, like, I have gotten used to being alone, which was, you know, I was married for 25 years and have had kids for 19 years. So I was very much used to never being alone, very, very rarely being alone. And over the last year, that was a huge adjustment for me. And I've adjusted because I'm okay. You know, I mean, I am very, very lucky in that I have a job and that I'm able to work from home and that I have health care and I have all these things that all these securities that a lot of people don't have right now. There's a lot of people that are right. very insecure just in their basic existence. So it's easy for me to go, oh, it's okay. You know, like it hasn't been bad because I do have all these things I can rely on. All these, you know, like my life in terms of my ability to sustain myself financially and career-wise, it's it's being supported. So I'm really, really lucky that way. But but I know, Ben, like I say, I am in a very different place than what I was a year ago in terms of just having a day like today where I woke up and a friend of mine texted me, what are you doing today? And I was like, I got a sink full of dishes, but beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I knew I was doing this, but beyond that, it was kind of loosey-goosey, you know?
Right, right. It just becomes an existential crisis.
Yeah.
Or existential question.
An empty day like that used to just haunt me, and I'd feel like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I would have this, I also, there was like a switch that I needed to flip in terms of being alone, where I had to go from, oh, I'm all alone and I don't have anyone to do anything with, to I can do whatever I want. The day is mine. I don't have anybody telling me, you know, I don't have to factor in anybody else's needs or wants. I can do whatever I want. So it's just, it's the same situation. It's just how I choose to look at it.
To think about it. Yeah. It's really just like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
Like
it's
you were
saying. It's easier said than done, but you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like being like, oh, the roads are empty.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah.
Freeway, no traffic.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Like flipping the switch a little bit. I think it is important to trick our brains a little bit like that. Or else it would be.
Oh, you have to. You have to. There's a lot of auto brainwashing, I think, can be a very healthy survival technique to tell yourself like, oh no, this is good for me. When you're confronted with something that you don't have any control over, I think like this, you know, like,
yeah,
you know,
this is how I talk to people now.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know,
laptop.
Like, I guess, or you know, like it's like finding flour is a game now. It's an adventure game. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I have three different places I can check for flour, you know?
Yeah. This may be too much info, but, you know, like, so I'm quarantined with my husband.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a grandmother in our equation, right?
Yes.
So for her sake, we're trying to be extra careful. Is she with you, too? No, she doesn't live with us, but we do see her. She's the only person that we see.
Yeah.
Right. So for her sake, we're being super careful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just gotten to our brains. So I hope it's okay that I talk about it, but we've started role playing sort of like gangbang situations where... Because it's, I think, like, it's just, I don't know.
You need more of a cast in your story.
Yeah. I think subconsciously I wasn't sure why I was kind of craving it suddenly. You know, you start having weird cravings when you're put in a new situation like a pandemic that you can't escape. Like, I've been craving more hot dogs, you know, like, it's like we're pregnant or something.
Right. Hot dogs and gangbangs. They're along the same theme, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm just libido. But it's a lot of pressure on my husband because he has to play all of the lovers that are in line.
Right.
So it's like a bad improv. It's like a one-man improv.
Team. Is there now like a box of wigs and disguises by the bed?
Because there's no time. He does it so quick. It's just in the voice. And in the character. So he kind of just taps himself out and he
Right.
Hey, it's Ron, you know.
My name's Ron.
The trucker from down the street. They're all blue collar workers for some reason. Then there's like it's Craig. It's me, Craig, the food runner at the restaurant down the street, you know. But it actually has been turning me on.
Yeah. Now, have you been introducing also the notion of the fact that you're breaking down the self-isolation? Like, is that part of it? Like, oh my God, you know, we could be infecting each other with COVID-19 right now. Is that part of it? The danger?
See, that, I think that's why.
Yeah.
That it's turning me on, which is actually that danger element. We're not in a pandemic in this role play scenario.
Right. Oh, you're not. Oh, okay.
We're not. So
I thought
it's
it would
like
be like, oh, you delivered the pizza, but you shouldn't be in here. Or at least if you're doing it, you should put a mask on. And some nitrile gloves.
That naturally, usually in normal circumstances, that would be a turn on because it sounds dangerous.
Yeah,
But then I was like, oh, it's too soon. And so maybe the dangerous element is that it's all these strangers already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just tapping in and out. Sometimes my husband does like forget a character's like, he'll be like, hey, it's Ron, the guy who wipes down seats. And I'll be like, you know, and I'll know he was supposed to be the trucker.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it's been very difficult.
Now, this is probably a too personal or possibly too personal question, so I don't blame you if you don't ask. But does his switching from character to character, does he also change up his technique? Like, is Ron a different lover than the like someone's tentative and someone's more sort of like, you know, self-absorbed, you know?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Character changes
what they're into sexually,
nice.
Right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
So, yeah, like one guy just ties himself up. That's it. You know, and it's – I'm serious. It sounds crazy. Actually,
right.
You're the only person I've told.
Well, now people are going to know. This is a podcast, you know. People are going to hear this.
You know, I forgot because I thought we were hanging out. It had been so long since.
No, I only speak to people nowadays if it's going to be listened to on the internet. I have no interest in actual personal communication anymore.
I just realized I'm like, what's this?
Oh no.
What's that?
Oh,
do
no.
you see that you're behind me?
Right.
There's a screen
We are both at this point kind of like very tame webcam girls to each other.
Oh yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, for sure. I want to keep that market open for people who've been doing it. But I did, of course, think about it, you know, when the pandemic first hit and all my comedy gigs were canceled.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what can I provide to the people? But then what a fucking presumptuous thing to say that people want this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. And I'm not saying just for you. I'm saying I go through the same thing, like. You know, they can do without me for a while, you know, like, so no, I
That's
understand
not true.
What you mean.
Andy, actually, we got a question from a listener who asked if you, Andy, this is from Mark from Silver Lake, has Andy always been this cute? Speaking of, you know, you webcamming, would people want it?
I don't know. I don't think that's really for me to judge. I mean, there's plenty of tape of me on the internet, Mark. Go on a YouTube crawl. You got time. See if I've always been this cute.
Yeah, it sounds like a rhetorical question where he was just giving you a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
If I may.
Do, I have always I actually just found some childhood pictures of myself, and there is one of me that's like, here, I'm going to see if I can find it, that's like that's pretty sexy.
Oh, my God, a little Calvin Klein adolescent model. Yes.
I was like, what the?
Yes.
I've never smoldered that much since or before.
Yeah, just... Wow, just deep eyes, a lot of thought in those eyes.
See, this is more, this
pose.
Is more to character.
The, just you crying,
yeah,
terrified.
Yeah. First haircut, you know.
Oh,
classic.
Please don't do this to me. Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah,
had
yeah,
some
yeah.
haircut trauma I was seeing on Instagram. You let your husband cut your hair. How, it looks good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
It looks like it always does.
You know, I got scared when he started getting confident, And yeah, when yeah. he started going quicker, he was like, oh, I'm getting the hang of this.
Yeah.
I was like, easy.
Right.
And, you know, also clippers were involved.
Oh,
scissors.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a whole lot. Like I didn't realize how many tools. I appreciated hairstylists more.
Yes.
You know?
Are you gonna repay the favor? Does he trust you enough reciprocally that he would let you cut his hair?
I asked him. I said, "Well, is it now your turn?" And he politely declined.
Yeah.
So he did also. He waxed my upper lip last night as well.
Wow.
Yes. He just does all things my hair.
You are a lot of work, I gotta say.
I am a lot of work.
I mean, not only does he have to play different guys just to help you get your nut.
Yeah.
You know, he's also got to do the grooming.
I'm very lucky.
You are lucky. Yeah.
And as you were saying, what have you learned? It's a good time to realize the things you do have.
Yes.
And for me, it is a versatile husband.
Yes.
With acting experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. With past acting experience, which theater.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's been good. And, you know, honestly, what I've learned from, like, the gangbanging role plays, and it has been difficult. There were some technical difficulties, like mm-hmm. I said. Sometimes he'll forget that a character, he'll break character or something, you know, and forget which character had what backstory, things like that. And, I was sitting down this morning, and I realized it's because I was like, oh, I think we just miss other people. And this is why.
Yeah.
Right? It's part of our libido, our bedroom play now.
Yeah.
You know? We got another question in, actually, just now for you. Is that correct? Yeah. I'd love to know.
Are people watching this live, or this isn't going out right now, is it?
This isn't going out right now, but people.
They know we're recording.
Like, yeah. And, okay. Questions are still coming in. I'd love to know if Andy knows that his short-lived sitcom was brilliant and is sorely missed even to this day. That's very, very sweet.
It's
a rhetorical question.
Yes. Well, actually, there's a couple of them. Andy Richter Controls the Universe is one, and then I was also on another one called Andy Barker PI. Both of which I'm very, very proud of. And they kind of, you know, they were good for a while and then they went away. And, you know, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to call it out. All these people giving you compliments in the form of questions, you know, it's great. It's a lot of pressure to Andy. This person said something nice about you.
I know.
Well, how do you respond?
When you say, I have a question from a listener, it's kind of like,
No, totally.
Never mind. Totally. All right. Yeah. I was afraid it would be, you know, like, do you know you suck? Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I do. But no, it's well, nice.
Well, some of these were more like practical, more survival.
Yes.
Questions. So here's one from Scott from an undisclosed location. Ooh. I hope Scott is okay.
Mysterious.
He sounds serious, right? Like right.
Yeah, mysterious. Scott? I said yeah, mysterious.
Scott. Oh, mysterious.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded kind of like.
Well, both.
I hope you're okay, Scott. You know.
Yeah.
That you can't disclose where you're chiming in from. If you're out there. Let us know if you're okay. He asked, have you discovered any new favorite snack combo during this quarantine?
New favorite snack combo. This is so, like, so nerdy and just, like, so cooking nerdy, but...
Go ahead.
I have been finding, because I started... I'd never cooked a lot of... Indian Pakistani kind of food and I cooked a few things and they're just like the style of cooking that is like kind of different just in terms of the first step of so many recipes is to just take what seems like an impossibly large amount of onions and cook them until they're brown. Cook them in fat until they're brown. Ghee, usually.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Whereas usually it's cook the meat first and then throw, mm-hmm. And then everything else kind of comes in after the meat. But the meat is sort of like it comes in later. So I've been mm-hmm. using that technique to just like make, to do it in chicken soup. Like do chicken soup with just like tons of browned onions, which actually yeah. end up kind of vaporizing. There's the flavor, but they just, you don't have a ton of brown, onions. They end up kind of dissolving. And, but like just to make like, rather than with Indian spices, just to make like a chicken stew with your normal kind of,
yeah,
thyme or sage broth, or whatever. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Old Bay seasoning. But to just start it with that base of onions, and it's really, really good. And it's changed the way like that I make, because I make a lot of chicken soup. Mm-hmm. Like I get one of my go-tos, because you can get a couple meals out of a
soup.
A grocery store rotisserie chicken. You can get a meal just out of the chicken, and then you can take the what meat is left and the carcass and make stock out of that, and then use the meat to make chicken. Or you can make the stock and make a stew or whatever you want. Yeah.
We did that yesterday.
Yeah.
We put a carcass into the hot pot, crock pot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were like, let's improvise. We grilled, we put onions in first too with uh-huh. a little olive oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, getting real good at being like, or better at being like, okay, what lasts longer?
Yes.
So let's make things that like, let's use something twice. How about three times?
There's something very satisfying about that, about no waste, and also just, and like I said, like I love carcass cooking. Any cooking that involves a carcass is just.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of people are scared of carcass, you know,
right, right.
or like other parts of the chicken that's not just the breast, mm-hmm. but come on, the whole chicken died, you know?
Right, right. Well, there's so many great things, like broth kind of things that you can do with pieces of meat that you wouldn't normally eat. Chicken backs, chicken feet, just mm-hmm. like weird chunks of bone, like, so much yeah. broth, like especially like various kinds of like ramen broth is just bones. It's just tons of like weird chunks of bones.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't normally have anything to do with, but you just boil the hell out of them and they taste good.
I know. Who yeah. knew? Instead of like what? What else would you do? Like bury it?
Give it to a dog? Yeah.
Give it to a dog.
Grind it up into bone meal or, fertilizer or something,
Fertilizer?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Bone meal. That's,
That's what it is.
Fertilizer. Yeah.
Oh my God. See, it's just, yeah. I've had to tap into like, what did my grandma do, with cooking
yeah.
and making things last longer. My mix of the day, my snack mix of the day for a little bit of this quarantine time was I would put hot dog. This was like the college me coming out. Hot dog, marinara sauce, and spaghetti together. I would mix put it in a wok
yeah.
and just cook it and eat it throughout that day.
Right, right.
And when I announced it, people were, the haters came in.
Sure.
They said, did you say hot dog?
Yeah.
Did you say hot dog? And
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, did I not say we were in end times? I'm sorry.
Yes.
You care about your, we're not getting all the flavors we want right now.
No, no. But also too, I think, especially in America, that they're a lot more restrictive in their use of hot dog. Whereas like hot dog in Asia ends up in lots of things, and in
for
lots
sure.
of places around the world where it's like, where you might put in chopped chicken or ground beef,
mm-hmm.
you put in hot dog. Mm-hmm. And just here, we, for some reason, we're like, no, hot dogs go in a bun.
On a bun.
Or under some chili and that's it.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try. Yeah. Any kind of carb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The chunky chewiness of hot dogs. People don't want that in their
right.
sauce,
Yeah, and what's supposed to taste like oh, this is only for Alfredo sauce or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I appreciate that. I wanted to play a quick game with you.
I love games.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Okay. During this time of quarantine, and this is, you know, out of empathy and out of the goodness of my heart. I don't know. God, Andy, sometimes I say things and I'm just like, this is not my first language. And it really shows, you know.
No, you do it. You do fine.
Thank you so much. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just a mini breakdown there.
You're making a living.
Hey, you know? You're right. Yeah, you're right. Haters? Okay. there are no haters. It was just like one person, honestly. Right. Every time I say haters, it's just one person.
It's just one person. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a relative, so it's someone in my family that I'm usually calling out. Okay. during this time of quarantine, I don't want us to forget the outside world.
Right.
You know? What it looks like, what it sounds like normally, you know? So I'm just going to quiz you on a couple of sounds, animal sounds.
Okay.
Onomatopoeias. So these are animal sounds, but in Japanese.
Okay.
And you have to guess which animal.
Which animal makes it? I like this.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I like that because it's always, you know, like the sound of a rooster is different in different cultures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like here it's cock-a-doodle-doo and, you know.
and in Japan it's... I'm not going to tell you because that's
right,
one
right.
of the
it
questions.
It could be one of them. Yeah. All right.
Okay, here we go. Okay, this is the first one. We'll start easy. Ready?
Okay.
You can look at my expressions too. I'll try to emulate that animal.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Nya.
That's a sheep or a lamb or a goat?
No, unfortunately, it is not.
Oh.
Was it the face that I made when I was doing it?
No, it sounded like it's just the sound of it sounded like a sheep, lamb, goat, you know, like.
Yeah. And I will go, I would before I tell you which animal it was.
Yeah.
I will say that I feel like American onomatopoeias seem closer to the animal in my head, but I don't know if it's like brainwash or,
right.
you know.
Do it one more time.
Okay. I'll do it more with hands.
Okay.
Nya! Nya!
Oh, it's a cat.
It's a cat.
Okay. Yeah, no. That is not the way a cat sounds.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I've literally heard them go meow.
Yeah.
I've meow. Literally out meow. Of their mouths.
Yeah.
They don't
go,
maybe
meow.
It's...
Meow.
I think it's because maybe meow was taken because... I don't know, you know.
I know.
So they were like, nyah. Okay, here's another one. Okay. Boo. 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 So picture an animal in front of you with that sound, right? What are you seeing right now? Boo.
Gosh, it's tough. Maybe a horse?
Oh, interesting.
You know?
Really? Have you...
Like the kind of sound a horse makes, you know?
Yeah. When they're like... what is that? Like they're sighing a little bit?
They're snorting, yeah. It's kind of a snort
snorting.
Or they're pawing.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, like...
Do it one more time.
Okay. Boo. 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 That's it being like, don't eat me. Boo.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint.
Maybe like a frog? I don't know.
Don't eat me. Don't eat me. it's a animal we know very well in the American culture. It is a pig.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I guess, yeah.
But then so what's the onomatopoeia in English? It's oink oink.
There's oink 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 oink. That's like oink, 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 oink. But then there's also, to me, it like the noises, the main noise they make, there is that like, and then just squee, the squee kind of noise, you know?
That's right.
Like
that's
especially people that have them as pets, those little ones as pets. Every time you touch them, they scream.
Yes.
You know?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've either seen it when like you catch a pig or if it's just like, you know, I'm domesticated. I have an attitude.
Yeah. Get your hands off of me. Squee, squee.
It's a terrifying scream though.
It's awful.
It always sounds hurt,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, but the oink oink. Okay, now it makes sense. When you do it, you're pretty good at onomatopoeia.
Thank you.
The way you've translated like the oink oink to the sound, the like oink, whatever you did. Yeah, now I see it. Else in the past, I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. We are now going to move on to inanimate objects. These are onomatopoeias of inanimate objects.
Okay.
Let's see. You did pretty. Well, you didn't get them right. Well, it was just two. Let's give you another one of the animal.
Okay.
Actually. Okay. I'm. Okay. This one you'll get. One.
A dog?
One. Yeah, it is a dog.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you sold.
Was it my acting? I did. Wiggle.
It was your acting. It was your acting, and the way you sold it too, and the way. But it's also the cadence of like one. Wah, wah. Like it sounded like a dog barking. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't know if like it, I've never heard a dog go wah-wah.
Wah-wah. That one's a little closer at least. I'll give the Japanese people that one.
Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
I have a meeting with all Japan.
With all Japan. Yeah.
After this, I'll let them know, okay? Here's a couple of inanimate objects. This one is za. I'm playing a person who's
rain.
Going through.
It would be rain.
Yes.
Yeah,
heavy rain. Za.
Wow. See, I don't even know. We don't even have a word for that. We don't even have a sound effect for that, for rainfall.
There is like water sound effects, like drip drop.
Yeah. Well, drip. Right? Yeah, drip, you could say, is kind of, it's a sound that also sounds, you know, it is an onomatopoeia in that it sounds like what it's supposed to be. Drip, drip, drip. It's also the sound that it makes. But we don't have like a, I guess, if you said roar, like maybe, you know, that might. But no, we don't really have a word for that.
That's very true. We just say heavy rain.
Yeah, the sound like of rainfall. Yeah. rainfall.
Exterior, sound of rainfall.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it's all exterior, sound of rainfall. Za. boon.
That's
a
thunder.
A pig goes by. Boo, boo.
That's
yeah.
thunder. Boon. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, one more.
Okay.
Gashan!
Car crash?
It's a crash, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gashan?
Gashan!
Gashan?
Huh? Gashan, yeah.
Gashan, oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's, what is a crash? We say like, boom, crash.
Yeah.
I think we just say crash.
Kapow.
Yeah. Kapow. Yeah. Exclamation points.
Gabang? Or
Gashang.
Gashang. Gashang. Yeah. That would be like a great character name. Like, you know, Bill Gashang. You know, like just a, you know, it's like for a character that's like very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm Reginald Gashang.
Yes. Or like, oh, you messed with the wrong guy. Cue Gashang. And he comes in.
Here comes Gashang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gashang Jones.
Yeah. Okay. That's his first name. Of course.
Either way. However you want to use it.
Yeah. Wait, didn't you say I recall you saying that your son was studying Japanese or like he's fluent or something?
Both my kids study Japanese. It's one of the nice things of going to school in LA is there are schools that teach Japanese. Although my son took, he wanted to learn it when he was like in fourth grade and he was taking it before he even had it at school. But yeah, he's been learning Japanese now for 6 years. And he can understand it better than he can speak it, but he still can speak it pretty well. And his senior year, the kids that are in the Japanese class, they did a exchange, and he spent 2 weeks in Japan and 1 week staying with a family and going to a school, and they chose him to be to do the address of the whole school. And
wow.
Apparently.
Big honor.
Yeah, and apparently he, you know, the kids at the school who were like, he's, you know, were just so kind and polite anyway. He said that they were very complimentary and said that he, you know, his pronunciation was very good and that he did a very good job. So, yeah, no, I don't, I don't know any Japanese, and but both of them, his sister followed in his footsteps and she started to take it too.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and it's just my kid, my son, started liking Japanese stuff when he was a little kid. What, like, it started a lot with food, and then it just, like cultural things, and not really video game anime kind of things, more just like artwork
stuff.
And just stuff and products and going to Japanese grocery stores and going to Little Tokyo a lot. I mean, we've clocked many, many hours in Little Tokyo from when they were little to when they were bigger, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes so much motivation to learn something new.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to do it for a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm always like, God, like, what's that feel like to have that kind of personality? Like, to have that motivation.
I know. You know? You got to do it when you're young, unless you do have that ability. Cause like, I wish, like, I'd love to, you know, in my mind, it's like one of those things, like, someday I'm going to learn a foreign language. And then I never get around to it, you know.
Look,
I mean, hopefully someday, but you know,
you're busy. You've got people to entertain,
right?
I know. You got Twitter. You know, you've got Instagram. You got a dog. You have kids,
right? I got a sink full of dishes right now too.
That's right. You have a sink full of dishes. It's
yeah.
And then just and also for me, maybe call me jaded, but you know, as I get older and time seems like there isn't enough of it. What am I talking about? I mean, right now there's a little more of that.
Yeah, there's a surplus. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm always like, well, if I don't get paid for it, why am I going to learn it? Is that messed up?
No.
If I don't truly have fun.
Yeah.
Learning.
Yes.
Right. So like cooking, sure. But yeah, a whole language. It's like, and I don't even know if there's enough Japanese people in LA your kids can talk to. You know, what are they? Are they going to Torrance? Like, they're just Gardena? Like, you'd have to go kind of far.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know.
Honestly, there aren't just Japanese people living in LA, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed.
You know what? There is Japanese language schools, but I think they are down that way, down towards Gardena, because there were kids from the school came to my daughter's school once. But it's mostly, you know, it's the same way that there's probably English language schools in Tokyo for people that are there working. They're going to send their kids to an international school. It's the same thing here. There's a Japanese school for all the Japanese people that are here working. So there are but it's not like it once was. It's not like when you go to Sawtelle, which is, for people that don't know, it's a very traditionally Japanese neighborhood, still a lot of Japanese businesses, and in fact become more fashionable. I mean, 10 or 15 years ago it was Japanese, but it was kind of dumpy Japanese. It was like old mom and pop gift shops and a couple of restaurants, whereas now it's like, well, you know.
Now it's, flashy lights. I haven't really gone back, but that 10 years ago was when I was going.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
No, it was always cool. I always loved it. But I mean, and by dumpy, I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that as like kind of, that's what I prefer, actually. It used to be kind of mom and pop stores that had been there for 40 years that were selling stationery and things like that, you know, like regular stuff. Whereas now it's kind of more like design stores and, you know, anime stuff and art galleries. It's like
wine tastings on Wednesdays.
Just, you know, six different kinds of ramen, you know, that kind of thing.
That's
true. Like very sort of like regional ramen, which is great, but it's kind of also like, I miss the stationery store. You know, I liked, it's, you know, it's
you wrote a lot of letters.
No, I mean, just, it's like a, it's like a time capsule, you know? And it's like, and it's like, what was it? I love that there's still like, there's just the cultural difference of people from a different country that are moved here and that are committed to here, but they have a business that's very much in touch with their, with the old country, you know?
Right. Yeah. It,
like there's a really fantastic, in Little Tokyo, there's a hardware store that's a mom and pop hardware store that sells.
Is it still open? I know it. Yeah.
Still open. And they still have like, you know, the various kind of Japanese gardening tools and, you know, like the saws and Japanese tools, like woodworking tools, chisels and things like that.
Right.
And it's just a family running there. We happened to be there one day when I think it was the Nisei Festival, and they just had like food out for the customers, like homemade food.
Oh, that's so nice.
That they had, you know, like just.
Those are the that's just for grabs.
Yeah, just to come in and, you know, and just different kind of like, you know, sweet bean rice cake kind of things, you know, just that. Like grandma had made that are sitting out in Tupperware in the hardware store, you know?
Yeah. I worry about the, you know, small businesses like that right now.
Yeah.
Because, well, I won't say where, but a store that was like in a very gentrifying town, like everything else is super hip. It's just like Origin Coffee, you know, whatever, cold brew, you know. 400 coffee stores in like 1 mile radius, and then there was this still like family owned business that just fixed typewriters.
Yeah,
my God, I said, my God, at least I because I was like, I want them to still stand.
Right,
but
right.
You fix typewriters, like at least take on notary too. You know, at least you know what I mean. I worry. Oh,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, fix photocopiers too. You know that. Yeah,
passport photos.
Yeah.
You got to do one of those stores like immigrant run stores that are like, we do passports, we do notary.
Yeah,
we
and
also sell
Herbalife. You know,
we sell Herbalife.
Yeah,
and in the back we have a porn section where it's just like you can also buy old porn DVDs. Do it all. You know?
Yeah.
And a bodega too, right? Like
right.
We also make like one type of sandwich now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The typewriter fixing store closed, but yeah. Anyhow, that's what I learned. I wanted it to be a happy story.
Yeah. No, things.
But I'm sorry.
That happened. The people, you know, there's a lot less people putting horseshoes on horses these days than there were at one point, so.
It's such a specific craft.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to start fixing a typewriter. So I respect that, you know?
Yeah.
But times change so fast. Like I'm trying to keep up constantly. Okay. We have another question.
All right.
From a listener. This is a question from Spanky? From Phoenix.
Okay.
Phoenix, Arizona, AKA Charming Bear. Is Andy a top or a bottom? Very, very simple. I know it's very personal, so you can answer however you'd like.
Well, I guess a top. I mean, it's in cishet sex, you know, it's sort of like, you know, but I guess, you know, but no, but I mean, you know. There's times I like to get there's times I like to get bossed around, you know, and you know, without giving out too much, like I'm mostly top.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would have guessed that too, but I wanted to let you answer.
I understand. You know? Yeah, it wouldn't be the same if you answered for me.
Yeah, that would be actually
presumptuous.
Rude.
Yeah, presumptuous.
That would be rude, presumptuous, and who am I?
Right.
Actually from the live show that we did, the Let's Go Atsuka show.
Yeah.
I was just listening to that episode again. There was a quick portion during the show where, Nicole says she's a power bottom. Nicole Byer said she's a power bottom. And then you go, I'm verse. And I got a big laugh from the audience. So
right.
I specifically remember you saying that you're verse.
Yes. It was more a joke, but yeah, you know, I mean, Sure, sometimes sometimes you want somebody else to take charge for a while. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean penetration or, you know, and who's receiving and who's penetrating. It just means like Yeah, you tell me what to do. Why do I always have to do the thinking? Yeah.
Yeah. More and more, I feel like what I'm into sexually by the end of this quarantine will be just like me tied up in one corner and then you tied up on the other end of the corner.
Sure.
Right. Which is true physical distancing.
Yeah.
But just let's just stare at each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Both of you, both of you unable to reach the remote and something awful on television.
Yeah. Both of us just masochists.
Yeah. Just a Dr. Phil marathon that you both.
But at least we don't have COVID. You know what I mean? Like, when is it worth it?
We're healthy.
But at least we don't have the thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, I was so obsessed with not getting COVID-19 that I was just sitting there watching the news, sitting there tweeting, sitting there, I'm not going to get COVID-19. I kept sitting there. I kept drinking, eating food. I was so obsessed with not getting it that I got a UTI. I got a UTI.
A psychosomatic one, you think? A stress UTI?
I think so. Yeah, like I forgot to take care of my body elsewhere.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I feel like we're gonna start seeing some of that where it's like, how did he die? You know? Light bulb fell on his head. I feel like a lot of like house accidents are just normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not to be dark about it, but you know, like I've been drinking a lot more, for example, drinking a lot more alcohol.
Yeah.
You know. And I had to stop myself like the eighth day that I was drinking hard liquor in a row. I was like, oh wait, this is gonna last longer. I want to come out of this like looking hot, you know. I want to look hot and not, you know, liver damaged.
Yes. Although I think that people are probably going to come out of this fatter. I think that's the one thing. I think everybody's going to be a little bit fatter.
Oh yeah. We got we're soft. We're getting really soft. And whatever.
It might just be wishful thinking on my part. You know.
No, we're definitely going to get the freshman 15 of,
yes.
We're going to get the COVID-19 15.
Well, I know for a fact, like in pre-quarantine days, you know, I try to eat healthy, you know, with varying success. But one of the things I do is I just really, and for reasons not just like weight control, but and not that I have some kind of gluten allergy, but it's better when
you just want to feel
better
good.
When I avoid bread. It's better when I avoid flour. And holy shit, I just have been shoving bread into my mouth as fast as I possibly can since I've been home.
Like a banana bread?
Like banana bread? Yes.
Your nana's, your grandma's recipe?
Yeah, I found that, and I, you know, and I've made it probably 4 times in the last 2 weeks. But I'm also, I have bread rising in the kitchen right now. I have a loaf of, you know, like a ball of bread dough rising in the kitchen right now.
Yeah.
Which I would never, you know, I just would.
You wouldn't do normally.
I buy like a bachelor loaf, those little half loaves of bread.
Uh-huh.
And it would get moldy. You know, like I'd eat 4 pieces of it maybe, and it would end up getting moldy. And now it's like, I just. Every meal is like, I'll have French toast for breakfast. For lunch, I'll have a big sandwich. And for dinner, I'll have bread.
Because you made bread. So you...
No, I don't know.
So you have it.
Yeah, it just seems...
It's comfort, too.
Yeah, and it's just easier, you know? It's like, it's harder to make, you know... I'm trying not to go to the grocery store much. So that means there's like less fresh vegetables. And
right.
So it's like... There's stuff to make a salad, and there's, you know, and I have fruit, but it's like, but there's not, you know, it's not broccoli in the fridge that I got today.
Yeah. No, and let's you know, give props to your grandma's recipe, you know. You just found it.
It's on my Twitter page.
I saw it, and it was very kind of you to share, you know, something so sacred.
There were some people who were like, I mean, I never said it was a secret. There were some people who were like, what's wrong with you? How could you share her recipe? And it's like, why would I Bogart a banana bread? Like, it's not like she was in a laboratory and came up with it. It's just fucking banana bread. And why not share it? Why not spread it around?
No, it's very true. Unless you had this plot to open up a banana bread store.
I don't ever get that. It's my secret ingredient. Like,
yeah. I meant a sacred. It was sacred. It was very nice to be like, here's another thing, because people are, you know, looking for new things to discover, and it was cool. It's always cool to see somebody's like, oh, this is my grandma's like doing, you know, and it's in.
It was, and I. It was also something that I had. It was, you know, something she made all the time, and I. They had an old box of her recipe cards, and it was like, oh, you know, I was looking for something else. Holy shit, I haven't seen this, so.
And it's such a simple recipe, but I have a question. I almost did it, but then I didn't have shortening, and buttermilk is the big.
Old recipes that just have buttermilk in them all the time.
And like a sifted flour.
Yeah, exactly, sifted flour. That was,
yeah.
Which is like, it's an extra step, and it's a pain in the ass, and it's messy.
Sure.
But it's like, I guess you got to do it.
Yeah, but do you have the time or not, you know? Come that.
For Christ's sake, I could make banana bread all fucking day. You know, when I'm not podcasting.
No, of course. When you're not podcasting, which is, I mean, they say Andy Richter, you know, always podcasting.
ABP, always be podcasting.
ABP, always be podcasting or always be producing. I want to start wrapping this up with one last question, one last sort of get to know you game.
Okay.
You've been, thank you so much, by the way, for chatting with me today.
It was my pleasure.
And you're, and I'm so glad to see that you're well.
I am.
Thank you for your droplets of knowledge.
Thank you.
I'm going to wait till my bananas are ripe. They're all green right now, the ones that I got. So, and I will try that recipe.
It's good. Yeah, shortening can be butter. It can be whatever you want.
Yeah. And I'm going to get real messy sifting that flour, and I don't care. Cause
it could even be, and I've never done it, but I bet it's really good. It could even be lard. Like, you could use lard instead.
Oh, my God.
Short.
Yeah. Of course. I like lard. I just, I don't quite know where to get it. You know.
And actually, I just saw it the other day at Smart and Final.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I saw big cubes of manteca. That's the Spanish word for it.
Tasty. Thank you. No, I've been trying to like travel really. I'm just like, I go to the grocery store closest to me. And it just happens to be like hipster, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like almond pasta for $12 a box. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll just eat a carrot. Okay. All right. Here's a question for you. Which of these mics would you rather be quarantined with? Have to chat on the phone daily with.
Okay.
Or let take over your tweets for the day.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Here are the mics.
Okay.
Vice President Mike Pence. The Situation from Jersey Shore.
Oh, my God.
He's a mic. Or Mike Bloomberg. Which one of these mics would you want to be quarantined with? Have to talk to at least once a day on the phone. Or let's take over your Twitter.
Okay, I guess.
You look distressed.
Oh, it's because none of them are really my scene. gosh, I would think quarantined with, I would have to say Mike Bloomberg, because he probably would leave you alone, because he has like, he's probably so up his own ass that he probably would not want, you know, he wouldn't want to be around you. So he'd probably just stay at the other end of the house.
He kind of has that vibe. Yeah. Like, he just kind of hangs in a corner kind of guy.
I would be beneath him. So it's like, he wouldn't even, there'd be like polite chats as he was like going to, you know, the kitchen.
He might also be able to hook you up with some stuff with the endless amount of money he has.
That would be true, yeah. He probably would make sure that we had lots of cool shit. I feel good about that one. Now, the other one is my tweets and then talk to on the phone. Is that what it was?
Yeah, talk to on the phone on the daily, just like you have to do a daily check-in with this mic, or let someone take over your Twitter for a day.
Right. Would it be incognito, the taking over my Twitter, or would I be able to say, this is this guy, it's not me?
He just is Andy Richter. And, you know, but honestly, people would know something happened, I would think. People would be like, whoa.
You know what I think I would do then? I think because, like, the situation is just annoying. Like, he's not evil. Whereas I think Mike Pence is a little evil. Let Mike Pence take over my Twitter feed, because it would all be kind of bullshit Jesus-y kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
And everyone would just think it was ironic, you know, like they'd think it was like me making a joke and assuming the identity of like some religious stuff shirt. And the situation,
and maybe a couple,
we can just talk about, I could talk to him, you know? You know, it's really funny that you say the situation, because my daughter's 14, and, you know, as part of her obsessive quarantine watching, she has been burning through Jersey Shore, which I have never seen. In fact, she was over last night. We were watching the second season of Jersey Shore, and I had never seen it. I think we would have these people on the show. Like, I remember like Snooki being on the show and stuff. And so I was kind of aware of them, but I'd never really watched this show.
Sat and watched, yeah.
I'm watching it with my daughter. And the situation is like, he's, you know, he's annoying, but he's also kind of tragic. You know, he's also kind of like...
Totally.
Yeah, like saying like, you know, like the way he refers to himself is like being in charge of everything and being the leader. Mm-hmm. And it's like, funny, no one else mentions that, you know, so...
Yeah. Did you hear his story about, was it Jeffrey Epstein? It was Jeffrey Epstein, because they were in prison together. And when Jeffrey Epstein came in, am I getting the right person? Yes, I believe it is Jeffrey Epstein.
What was the situation in prison for?
Tax evasion. It was at the same time, the same prison. And apparently Jeffrey Epstein wasn't eating his chicken, like when they would have chicken dinners at the prison. He wasn't really into the chicken. So I guess Mike, the situation, went up to him and said, hey, I really like the chicken. Like, if you're not going to eat yours, I would love to have your chicken.
Yeah.
And I guess so that was the only conversation they had in prison was Mike, the situation.
Got to eat Epstein's chicken.
Yeah, yeah. And Epstein agreed.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of story that I was like, maybe this is the kind of story I needed right now. Where I was like, what are people eating? And what are people's favorite foods?
Right.
Yeah.
And what becomes important when you're imprisoned? You know, when you're the situation or Jeffrey Epstein and you're imprisoned.
Well, he said he had heard Jeffrey Epstein was in, and he was like, well, I'm going to try to make friends with him.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know. It was just an interesting storyline, trying to, you know, figure out what goes on in his head.
Yeah.
And it was just like food, you know, we do it like, well, that's a good way to connect with someone.
Yeah.
I notice you're not eating yours. Can I have it? You know? And also, I think Mike Pence doesn't actually tweet that much, so it won't be too detrimental to your Twitter page.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he'll just retweet Donald a few times on yours, and people would definitely be like, Andy's just fucking with us. Yeah. Anyhow, Andy, that was our show. That was our show. I want to thank you so much for...
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Do you have anything that you would like for people to go check out or listen to?
Well, I mean, we're still doing Conan shows. And I have a podcast called The Three Questions, and I'm still recording those. And they're out every Tuesday. So there'll be a new one coming out soon. And we're kind of nearing the end of the season. There is like a season for, you know, I'm contractually obligated to do them. So we're nearing the end of the first year of the podcast. which has been...
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really... I've really kind of enjoyed it, and I wasn't sure that I would. Because number one, it seems so daunting to be like, you know, like right. you got to interview 45 people or something. It just seemed like, oh shit, that's so much work. But I have been able to just kind of keep it to people that I want to talk to and conversations that I want to have for the most part. So it's, you know, I enjoy it and it's the kind of conversations that I like to have, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. No, so I'm glad. I mean, you're such a great listener, and so fun, and you always like teach something new, you know. Which I was saying, like by the end of like, because this is a new format to Let's Go Otsko, actually, yeah. where we can't have contestants,
right,
you know,
right,
because
right.
of the because it, we're doing it online now, Zoom in quarantine. So yeah, I wanted to have more heart to hearts and. I've always loved hearing you ask questions or be witty. You're so funny and you're a cool cat.
I think you're the best. So, thank you for having me on.
Have a great rest of your day, Andy.
All right.
And take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.